morning, we read the Torah, the first day of Hanukkah, the Parshas HaNesiim. Vayaviyu es Korbanam in Pasuk Gimel, Sheish Eglos Tzav. Says Rashi, Omer Rabbi Nosson, Maro Anasim Lisnadev Kan Betchila, Uvim Lechas HaMishkan Lo Isnad Betchila, Elakat Omer Anasim, Yisnadu Tzibur Mashi Yisnadu, Umashim Lechas Finanu Mashlimin, Kevin Shiro Shishlimu Tzibur Atakol, there's nothing left almost, Shakach Yisnadu Kan Betchila. The Nesiim learned their lesson. First time around, the Nesiim did what is known as a fundraiser's dream. We'll make up the deficit. Whatever the deficit is, we'll make it up. Whatever it may be. Anyone who's a professional fundraiser would give everything for this. Solves the problem. You give me $10, you give me $1,000, it doesn't matter, I'm guaranteed when I have my budget covered. Yet that was considered a mistake on their part, and the yud was taken away from the name for this reason. Here, they made up for it. What was the mistake of the Nesiim? How did they make up for it? How is it tied into Hanukkah? These Sheish Eglos Tzav, found in the very same Pasuk Gimel of the Parsha we read today, are possibly referred to, possibly, in last week's Parsha, and the Parsha we read the Shabbat after Chanukah. So the Shabbat both before Chanukah and after Chanukah, the Shabbat of Vayeshev and the Shabbat of Vayigash, both have references, potentially, to these Sheish Eglos Tzav. How so? We read on Shabbat a remarkable pasuk. In Parshas Vayeshev, Yaakov Avinu sends Yosef on a mission. And the mission begins as follows. Vayishlacheu me'emek Chevron vayavo Shechem. He sent them from the valley of Chevron and he got to Shechem. He asked Rashi from Chazal, follow Chevron Bahar. Chevron is in the mountaintop. Ela me'eitza amuko shaloso tzadek akover b'chevron. What does it mean? Is it emek Chevron? Is mamish a valley? The Eitza Amuka, the deep Eitza of Avraham Avinu, was buried in Chevron. What is the Eitza related to Avraham Avinu? That Hashem said, Yodoha Teda, Be'en Prit Geri Yevizarach HaBeret Bolehem. How did it come about? How did they come to the triumph? That Yosef was sold? How did it happen? That Yaakov sent him? Or me Eitza Amuka shall HaTzadek HaKovah B'chem. Fine. That obviously not the Pasha. Hey, Mech Chevron. Sounds like the Valley of Chevron. So the Chizkuni, Rashi's contemporary, was more concerned with Shach, Perish Amilin. He says, no. Chevron means he sent them to the Valley of Chevron. Chevron's on a mountain. What Valley of Chevron? Very simple, says the Chizkuni. Come from a medrash, a different medrash. Yaakov Avinu escorted Yosef HaTzadik from the mountaintop of Chevron down the mountainside into the valley. And so he sent him away from the valley. He escorted him. He was malavahim from the mountaintop down to the valley. And from Eimek Chevron, by Yishlochel, may Eimek Chevron, that's where he said goodbye. Of course, I realize it will be a goodbye for 22 years. He said goodbye and on his mission to Shechem. Now we know about this accompaniment from another Rashi. Is found in Parshas Vayigash. The Rashi combined with the Medrash. Vayaretz ha'agolos asher sholach Yosef lo teitos about chiruach Yaakov Aviyah. And Yaakov even sees the agolos, he gets all excited. How so? Says Rashi. Simon Mosalem, the Mashahoy Osik, the Knepirish Bimenu, the Parshat Egla Rufo, the Zerushinema Vayaras Agolos, Asher Sholach Yosef. Because they were learning Egla Rufo, so was a Simon to Yaakov Avinu. So all of the Parshat Mesa were learning Egla Rufo. What do you think? When Yaakov learned with Yosef, no one was looking. Reuben was looking and Shimon was looking. They were all looking. That's all he was learning with the father. So what kind of simon is this? The answer is given based upon the Medrash. What do you mean learned Egla Rufa? When did he learn Egla Rufa? The Medrash tells us that when Yaakov accompanied Yosef down that mountainside, Yosef tells his father Yaakov, Chazor b'cha, go back. Shemo e'onesh. I'm afraid I'm going to be punished. Why be punished? Because Yosef is taking Yaakov, quote unquote, out of his way. He's walking down the mountainside, and he's going to have to walk back up again. This is the quotation of the Medrash. Chizkuni quotes it on that very pasuk, in Parshas Vayigash. Chazor b'cha shelo e'onesh, al tikrach, don't bother. Omer le Yaakov b'ni, al ti mitzvah zu kala b'necha. Shebeshvil Levaya for accompaniment, Nitosvitz Parsha Achaz Batorah. There's a whole Parsha in the Torah about accompaniment. Where's this Parsha? It says, Yadeinu lo shavtu es adam. In the Parsha of Egla Ruf, the Chizal al Datsa Shebez Mishof Pedamimim, El Shekarnu below Levaya. But had they let him go from the town without accompaniment, they would not be able to say in clear conscience, Yodeinu lo shafu es adam azeh. Can you imagine? The kevan shel oliveyu ma'al av akosav ki l'shaf av damo. That's the parashat egla yufo shei osik bo. And that's a simen that no one else could have known about. As the Bali Atosa said, the Moshe of the Canaan, no one knew. Because he only learned this parashat with Yosef when he's walking him down the mountainside. So it had him in Yosef. And obviously Yosef was still thinking about the machshavas of Torah that Yaakov Avinu had given to him 22 years before, by the chiruach Yaakov Avinu. What's the connection between Agolos and Egla Arufa? There's a whole literature. Some say he put the Egla Arufa, he put Eglos, which were pulling the Agolos. This is the Moshe of Canaan says. And some say Egla, Gola, sounds the same. But Rashi, on the Medrash, says, no. They weren't learning the Parsha of Egla Rufa, a different version. They're learning the Parsha of Agolos, Sheish Eglos Tov, Parshas Noso. That's what it says in the Das of Canaan, the Hadar of Canaan. Those are familiar. Moshe of Canaan, Das Canaan, Hadas Canaan, different versions of the Valley of Tosis. That's that. We have a misdat the basic, the Tosis have been a parrot in the Tosis, so we have another Tosis. It's on the Chumash also, a different Tosis, and they have a dispute on this point. Is it Egla Rufa or is it the Agolos that we read about this morning? So, what's the point? Steer and Rashi, is it Egla or Agola? Is there a connection between the lesson of Egla Rufa and the lesson of the Agolos of the Mishkan? And what does it have to do with Chana? A like to suggest the following. What was the mistake of the Nesi'im? We read this morning, you look on the Rashi, the Nesi'im made a mistake. They didn't come to the donate immediately. They were waiting to just fill up to fill the deficit. What's wrong with that? A very fundamental error was made. The Nesi'im were completely, quote, result-oriented. If the result is to be enough money for the Mishkan, schon gut. But if someone else does it, or I do it, what's the difference? Done is done. That's how they viewed their role. But this is a basic error. Because you see, in performing these mitzvahs, especially the mitzvah of tzedakah, chesed, it's not merely the result. But rather, as critical is your involvement. You have to do something, so you should have the privilege to be involved in this mitzvah. Not only should the mitzvah should get done, no matter how it gets done. And therefore the Nesi'im erred when they said, look, we'll let everyone do what they do, we'll make up the rest. That was a mistake. At the end of the day, they didn't have any part in it, and they felt terrible. So therefore, right away, they brought the eglos. The Agolos, Shesh Agolos Tov, to show we're the first ones on the list, we're right away getting involved. They learned their mistake, and now the Yud is returned to their name. From both sides, what's the story of the Egla Rufa? So you accompany somebody out of the city, and that's going to be your way of saying, Adena Lo Shofkos Adon Azeh. I ask you an obvious question. The guy got killed. To say, got killed. Didn't get killed in I walked in 4 amas, or 40 amas, or 400 amas, or 1,000 amas. I can't, I'm going to walk him all the way. He's going to walk me back, and walk me back, and back. We'll just all be walking back and forth for the rest of our lives. Can't walk all the way. So what do you mean you're Daniel Shabbos and Amas there? You only walked him a little bit. So there are different perushim. Some say they walk him a little bit, people realize he has friends, they won't set up with him. There are different perushim. May I suggest my own shot? Your Daniel Oshakos Adam Azeh means I did my chelik. I accompanied this individual. Of course, I can't walk him all the way. But I made a hishtadlis. I walked him as far as I could walk him, and that's what I have to do. And we believe that hishtadlis achieves things. And I can say with a clear conscience, your Daniel Oshakos, because I did my share. So a cynic would say, let's tell us a joke. You're accompanying him right near the city. There's no danger there. Don't accompany him 10 miles down the road where he got killed. That's where it doesn't matter. That's the cynic speaking. But the HaKadosh Baruch Hu talks a different language. His language is, you do your share. It seems that your share is not enough. You're not mechiyev to do everything. You have to do your share. That is the lesson that the Nesi'im had originally gotten wrong, and in the end they got it right. That's the pasuk we read in this week's parsha, in this morning's landing. So the Agolos and the Egla are related in this sense. The point is, you have to do what you have to do, because it's your share, and you don't have to be so result-oriented. That's the lesson of Egla Rufa, the accompaniment. That's the lesson of the Agolos. That's why the Nesi'im brought first now, how they made the mistake of waiting for last the first time around. Oh. But it goes further than that. The new midrashim, they quote an interesting shot. In Egla Rufa, in Parshas Vayigash. Quote, Yosef was trying to demonstrate to his father, Shunaki mi pirud levavus. Yosef is clean from divisiveness. As the Gemara says in Sotah Lamed Ches, Ein Egla Arufa Ba Ela Bishvil Tzarei Ayin. Tzarei Ayin, people who are stingy, they won't give up of their food, or they want a company, and Tzarei Ayin causes pirud. So he told them the remez that he's libo shalim menechov, despite everything, Yosef was happy with his brothers, and Yaakov Avinu was happy. How does this tie in to what we've been saying until now? Who was Yosef? Who was this man? What made him so special? You read Parshas Vayeshev, you think, doing silly things? And as far as Ein Hachinam, who now? He was a child, he was young, he was 17. He made many mistakes. First he got involved with the boss of Raul Aviyam, that was a mistake. To make matters worse, he told his dream to his brothers. To make matters worse, he almost told them what it meant. Didn't he realize they're going to be jealous? So the scholar said he made a mistake. He spoke to Gemara in Masechta Shabbos. Atas Dardiki, the advice of youngsters is not so good. He didn't have the life experience. This is not to say that individuals who have life experience are perfect. Chazal are critical of Yaakov Avinu himself. But the Vakav Bein Men Abonim, another Gemara Shabbos, that they were able to see, play favorites once and over another, a disaster. But usually, people with experience have a better track record. But the question is obvious. Rabbi Sahir, everyone here is 17. I tell you, 19, you're 21. You're all, you're young people, Baruch Hashem. Would you make the mistake of Yosef? Now, Yosef was a genius. An absolute genius. How could it be that it makes such a mistake at age 17? 17 is not a baby. I'm going to suggest a pshat. Shemayim aponim aponim kein leiv ha'odam la'odam. You look at someone and you view him and you think he's viewing you the same way. Yosef HaTzadik was a tzadik, among other reasons, because Yosef was not jealous of anybody. Yosef had the opposite of the Tzoros Ayin, which we just mentioned. Yosef was the individual that he and his descendants, Lo Shota Behen Ayin Hora, the Yidvul Aro of the Karavas, like Dagam Shabayan. No Ayin Hara by Yosef or his descendants. Why? What does Ayin Hara mean? What does it mean? You know, I look at someone, the Gemara Baba Batra, I look at someone's field and the grain is growing and I'm jealous and say, why does he deserve it? Yeah. Ayin Hara is based upon jealousy. Yosef HaTzadik had zero jealousy. And because he had zero jealousy, just imagine, he assumed that just as he wasn't jealous of anybody, that no one would be jealous of him. He didn't have a jealous bone in his body, as we say today. He couldn't even conceive of the means of jealousy. Couldn't imagine it. So therefore he told his brothers, you know, I had this dream, I'm going to be the king, you're going to bow down to me, and he thought they're going to give a kiddush for him. He was only 17. He was a 17-year-old who didn't have a jealous bone in his body. And he therefore assumed, Kemayim Apanim Lapanim, that's how everybody looked at things. That was his mistake. Years later in life, undoubtedly, he understood full well. Not everyone was as giving of spirit, generous of spirit, as he was. With the hard one. So therefore, generosity of spirit is the theme of Yosef. It's the theme of the Egla Rufa. It's the theme of the Agolos. One who's generous of spirit wants to do what's right and what's good and what's generous, not only to fill up a deficit and a gap in a budget, because you want to do what's right. You want to be a giving person. See, no way around. Whatever's left, that's what I'll make up. No, you go run to it first. And you accompany somebody down a mountainside, even if it's a tircha for you. And you don't have the tzoras ayim which leads to the egla rufa. Rabotai, what I'm saying now is almost un-American. The society in which we live, a society of competition. Competition, that's what drives our society. That means, how can I be one up on the other guy? I know very little about business. I'm sure there's some side sim students who can teach me a few lessons. But I hear or I read about various companies and their quote market share. What does that mean? Well, my market share went down, that's bad. What does that mean? My sales can go up. I'm doing better than any other year, but percentage wise I went down. Terrible. I'll give a mushroom. I once read an article about Pepsi and Coke. I said that Pepsi is very bad. Its market share went down. Coke went up 2%, and Pepsi went down 2%. Meanwhile, it was like the best year in history of soft drinks. Each one sold tens of millions of more units than the year before. My market share went down. Terrible. That's America. Where's the generosity of spirit? Who cares that Coke sold 10 million more bottles and cans than last year? I sold 5 million more, so what's the difference? Where's the generosity of spirit? Doesn't exist too much in this country. You take the crisis, and they knock down the World Trade Center, everyone, oh, generosity of spirit. Everyone is generous with their time, everyone is generous with their money, even. Crisis, or even not a crisis, no competition. When there's no competition, everyone's generous in spirit. Give up your time, give up your whatever you give. So you get the competition, everything is. I'll tell you a mighty share with me. Happened to me. Next month will be 13 years. I was privileged to go spend a little over a week in Moscow. It was still communist Russia. I was macabre on myself, and I spent some time, closed my svarim basically, and go run around the Moscow giving shirim night and day, you know, all kinds of other stories to tell, but not for now. But it was a very interesting period of time. And of course, being in Russia, and it's cold, and you're waiting on line here and there. I gave up my time. I made it. And you know, it was interesting. People would jump ahead of you, and nothing bothered me. So I already agreed. I made a decision in my mind. I'm here for this period of time. I'm going to say as many shurim as I can, talk to you as much as I can. And that's my task for this period of time. I tell you, it's amazing. I didn't feel any of this kind of competition at all. I wasn't feeling anybody. The people in Russia never, they had nothing, they had no money, they had no Torah, they had anyev, everything. No, good. Remember, come to Eretz Yisrael. Went to Eretz Yisrael. Oh, I'm coming out to Israel, I'm getting off the plane. All of a sudden, everyone's jumping ahead of me in the line. Everyone's jumping and jumping. All of a sudden, I start getting upset. What do you mean? I'm late. I have to catch you. I'm late. The plane was delayed. What changed? It's amazing the mentality changed. I couldn't help but noticing it. When I already agreed to my quote generosity of spirit for a week, I had 1 week. You know, I gave 1 week up to do whatever. So this guy cuts ahead of me. Big deal. Not coming out of my time. I already gave the time away. Now that I'm back in Eretz Yisrael and I want to go reach my destination, the guy cuts ahead of me, he's competing with me. The guy, I'm like, whoa, it bothered me. My juice is flowing, quote unquote. Ooh, mother, whoa. Whatever, I don't remember the details. What do you see about that? It's a very important lesson. That we should all learn this lesson from Yosef HaTzadik, of this generosity of spirit, to be willing to be given to someone else, so we have to think if someone gets ahead of you. Nafkamina. This is the lesson of Egla Rufa, generosity of spirit, the opposite of Tzoras Ayin. The lesson of the Agolos, give first, don't wait till later. The lesson of the Yosef HaTzadik is what he remembered 22 years before. I'm not a Tzar Ayin. No, I'm happy my brothers, whatever they did to me, I'm Michael them, we'll get along, it's going to be fine. Batzchi Ruach Yaakov Avir. And I believe it was only because of this midah of generosity of spirit that Yosef HaTzadik was perhaps the most successful ruler in history of the Sephardim Quartet. Kama Lumasi Vigam Nitzava. What's Nitzava? I'm not just going to rule. It's going to be a long rule. Yosef ruled for 80 years. The time he turned 30, given the position, he died at 110. 80 uninterrupted years as the viceroy of Egypt. How is it possible? All the machinations and the coups and attempted coups. How did he do it? The answer is he wasn't a jealous person. When they're jealous, you're jealous of me, I'm jealous back of you. So it really was, to some extent, the fulfillment of what he thought as a 17-year-old, naive young man, of Kamayim Apanim Lapanim. By not being jealous of others, they weren't jealous of him. The brothers was a different story, where they're going to send sibling rivalries that are unique. And that's how he survived for 80 years in his position in Mitzrayim. Now what does all this have to do with time? I believe that this theme, that it's our job to do our share, and we don't have to be so result-oriented. That's the whole idea of the accompaniment of the Egla Rufa. That's the idea of the Agolos. It's a theme of Chanukah on two levels. On the original historical level, in terms of the battle of the Chashmonaim against their enemies, as well as on the level of the Neis Pach Hashem. Read the story of Matisyo, Mil Hashem Elai. What an improbable statement. You're going up against the most powerful armed force in the world at the time. With nothing. Nothing. What kind of business is this? Doomed to failure. And yet, it was this heroic stand of Matisyo, which enabled the Beit HaMikdash to last for hundreds of more years, led to the Renaissance of Torah, Rambam described in the Chof Chanukah, and of course led to the miracle of the holiday that we're celebrating today. Do yours! Bila Hashem Elayich, as I'll say, he eliminated someone who did something very wrong. I know. So not like miracles. The miracles, the Hashem were able to prevail for a significant period of time. And what about the real miracle, which is the Malam and Atev, the miracle of Pach HaShemer? So they're taught, they know that it takes a whole week to get Shem. But look, the attitude should be, it takes a whole week to get Shem, we only have one Pach HaShemer, we'll wait. We'll wait, alright. You wanna save a day, so the day before, we'll be Torah, and after Shemen, so then we'll light this one little pass. So we'll have a continuity. That's for a time, a light night, then I'll have 7 days with nothing, and then start again. Not even nice, you know, I can make an argument for the Zoyan to the Beis HaMikdash. You stop for a week and start again. Wait a week! Wait the 7 days, don't do anything. Then the eighth day you'll use this Pashem, and then you'll go on forever. That would make sense. Result oriented. No. They insisted we're going to light the path. I am going to be a bizarre. You do yours. And the rest, of course, is history. The miracle transpired. When you think about it, the whole Mishkan is this way. Who came a Mishkan? Rashi says, it was impossible to lift. So, Moshe Rabbeinu went like this. And who came a Elam? It looked as if he was doing it. But really, I could have spoken with this. Rabosai, the Hakamas, our Mishkan is a paradigm for everything that we do. Looks like we're doing it. We have to try to do it. We can't be oblivious to Shtadlus. But really, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing it. Who come on Mishkan? That's what we learned this morning. Kriyas HaTorah. When the Nesiim came, they gave Agolos. We're going to do what we have to do. We're not going to be so result oriented. Wait till the end. We did that. We made that mistake last time. Do what we have to do. When it comes to Talmud Torah, we're speaking of the B'nai Yeshiva, it's surely this way. Yagata Matzosa, the Mefarshim explained, the Torah is so vast. The Torah is Chokhmas Elokim. It's impossible for us to grasp any bit of it by nature. To do our share, open the Gemara and start the Tosfos. So the Shbrochu gives Seichel. Gives us understanding. And yes, we daven for understanding. The same with Yvainu, Lahav, and Lahatskir. What is this? Yeah, Kodesh Baruch is going to give you an IQ upgrade based on the same with Yvainu, Lahav, and Lahatskir. What are you asking for? The answer is, it comes to Chokhmas HaTorah, no matter how smart you are, you can't grasp the whole thing. It comes from the Siyata D'Shemayim. The Chazal of Torah, Siyata Mishmaya, Uk Begirsa, Asuka Shmaya, Leva the Hilchasa, Siyata the Shmaya. And you have to daven first. Important lesson. All of us, especially for B'nai Torah, especially on Hanukkah, the Egla Rufa, the Agolos, the life of Yosef, the fight of Hanukkah, and the miracle of Hashem. I'd like to conclude by quoting something from Rav Zevin, the Zichrono Livracha, and that Torah v'la Mo'adim, and adding one little twist. Explaining the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, whether we go from 8 to 1 or 1 to 8, Rav Zevin has an interesting idea. He says, you know, Chanukah is both Eish, the fire, and Or, it's a light. There's a big difference between a fire and a light. A fire that consumes, say, a building, a shack. You set it on fire, the fire is very big, the whole place is burning, and as it gets consumed, there's less and less few, it gets smaller and smaller and smaller. That's the idea of Eish. This is the idea of the battle of the Chashmonoim against their enemies. They fought, the enemy became fewer and fewer and fewer. And therefore Beis Shammai goes from 8 down to 1. I don't believe Rav Zevin says this explicitly, but that's exactly what the Gemara means. Kippurei Achag. The Purei Achag represents the nations of the world, our enemies. And they go down one after another, it keeps going lower and lower, and they're under the Sukkos, symbolizing that we destroy our enemies, they become fewer and fewer. This is Eish. However, Beis Hillel emphasizes the dimension of light, of awe. When it comes to light, lights get bigger and bigger and bigger. In the literal sense, and also in the figurative sense. Because light represents Torah. Eish represents the destruction of our enemies. Light represents the second dimension, the increase in Torah which came about as a result of the Nes Chanukah. And therefore, Beis Hillel insists that as light goes up, as Kedusha goes up, Malam HaKodesh V'lo Maridin, we go from 1 to 8. I conclude with the following thought. Seems that the two totally separate and distinct ways of looking at Ner Chanukah. 8 to 1 and 1 to 8. May I submit that not only are these two interpretations, both part of Torah, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, but they're even closely related. Moreover, Rabosai, we live in very difficult times. I need not tell you, I need not remind you. What can we do? We sitting here in the yeshiva in New York City, what can we do? Help by Achenu B'nai Yisrael, B'chol Mokum Shehem. Here, and especially in Eretz Yisrael, especially. What can we do? The Chazal have taught us in the Medrash what we can do. Hakol kol Yaakov v'yadayim v'day Yisrael. The Chazal in the Medrash. When kol osho Yaakov is nishma mevotek neziyos mevotek neshoshos ein yaday Yisrael sholtos. And the voice of Yaakov is heard in the shuls, davening properly, in the Batei Midrash, learning properly, Esav, and all the future Esav, cannot rule over us. Doesn't sound right. And if you're living in a result-oriented society, you need guns and tanks. What are you talking about Torah and Tefillah? The answer is, we do our share. And our share, v'anachnu v'shem Hashem Elokeinu nazkir. That's our share. Yes, we have to have an army, no doubt about it. But if fighting the army, good. If you're living in New York, what can you do? You're involved in Torah and Tefillah. And this puts the two pieces together. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are two sides of the same coin. Beis Shammai wants to destroy the enemies. Kill them. 8 down to 1. Eish. How do you do that? They're so numerous, they're so powerful. Rabban Biyad Miyatim. How do you do it? Giborim Biyad Chaloshim. How do you do it? The answer is, Eidim Biyad Oskei Sarasech. It's the Kol Kol Yaakov is powerful. Then it can overcome the Adayim of the Yesav, even of Giborim, even of Rabbim. And so the only way Beis Shammai's interpretation can be fulfilled as if we introduce on our own the spirit of Beis Hillel, the most of the Holech in Torah and in Tefillah. These lessons of Chanukah, are so important, especially in these difficult times. We should be zocheh to see this Chanukah, It's come such a dark, dark, dark time. Dark. The old Chanukah was also dark. Marami Prague says, as Chanukah takes place on the 25th of Kislev, which is the longest night of the year, 3 months after the Chof HaEl, when the world was created, is Chof HaKislev, the longest night, the darkest night. And out of this dark, dark night comes light, and more light, and more light, and more light, represented by the 1 to 8. We should be Zocher, because we've been seeing such a dark night, Am Yisrael, so many tragedies. We should be Zocher, this should be the beginning of the great light which comes after this dark night. The great night of Arachti Ner LeMashichi. The great night of the coming of the Mashiach, ultimately of the rekindling of the Ner in the Beis HaMikdash itself, Shiyivonah B'mehera B'Yameinu Amen.